This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so now let's talk about Tu B'Shvat. I saw something in the B'nai Yisachar. I'm going to tell you what he says in about 3-4 minutes, and then I'm going to elaborate on it the rest of the class. What he says is the following. He says there is an argument in the Gemara when the world was created. Rabbi Eliezer said the world was created in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua says in Nisan. That does not mean that the world was created either in Tishrei or Nisan, but man was created the first day of Tishrei or the first day of Nisan, which means that the world was created 6 days earlier on either the 25th day of Elul or the 25th day of Adar. Now we know that when 40 days before a person is conceived, they already in the heavens are preparing for that person. Arboim Yom Kodem Yetziras Havlad. So he says it would stand to reason that 40 days before the world was created, God was already preparing in the heavens for the creation of the world. That means 40 days before the 25th day of Elul is the 15th day of Av. And 40 days before the 25th day of Adar is the 15th day of Shvat. So here we have a connection between Tu B'Shvat and Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av is the 40-day period before the creation of Tishrei, and Tu B'Shvat is the 40-day preparation before the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan. That's what he says. Now, I'm going to elaborate on it. First thing, there's a difference between, there's another connection between Tu B'Shvat and Tu B'Av. They both have to do with trees. Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, so it's obvious. What does Tu B'Av have to do with trees? One of the opinions in the Gemara, why we celebrate Tu B'Av, is because on that day they made a siyum for cutting wood for the altar for that year. They only cut wood for the altar in the summer when the sun's rays were direct. It was very hot, and the wood, the trees were dry, because wormy wood is not kosher for the Mizbeach, and worms do not grow in dry trees, dry wood. So the chances of having wormy wood were less when the summer months were there. So the whole summer they cut trees for the Mizbeach. The cutoff point, no pun intended, the cutoff point was Tu B'Av, because that's when the nights started to get longer and the days shorter and the sun's rays were not as direct. And Mamela, it's possible worms developed in the wood, so they stopped cutting trees for the Mizbeach. So here we have a connection between Tu B'Av, where we're dealing with dry trees being cut up for being burnt on the altar, and Tu B'Shvat, which has the opposite. Water goes into the trees on Tu B'Shvat. The rainfall from Tishrei finally goes up into the trees after Tu B'Shvat, and that sets the way for the fruit to blossom and to grow. Okay. So it comes out that we prepare for the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, right, with 40-day preparation from Tu B'Av, with dry trees, cutting them up and burning them on the altar. And we prepare for the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan with trees that are moist, bring out fruit, to prepare for the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan. Okay. Now, this concept that the world was created, an argument, when the world was created is a difficult thing. How can you argue when the world was created? Either it was created in Nisan or in Tishrei. And we know whenever the rabbis argue, they're both right. So how could they both be right? Says Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, the world was created, the machshava, in thought, in Tishrei, and Lamaisa and in action in Nisan. He doesn't explain what he means. I'll tell you what I think he means. Because that's also difficult. What does it mean? God created the world mentally and then he created it physically. What does that mean? I think it means, it alludes to a Rashi that you're all familiar with in the beginning of the Torah. Rashi says, "Bitchila ola b'machshava liboros b'midas adin." Originally, God's original thought was to create this world only with din, no mercy, only justice. But then he added rachamim. First, I have to understand, why would God want to create this world only with din, no mercy? Because the purpose of this world is to give a person a chance to earn his world to come and not get it on a silver platter. Justice, din, means you get what you deserve. Not more, not less. Mercy means you get some help. If the whole purpose of this world is that you should earn your world to come and not get it carte blanche, then the more that you earn it without any help, the better it is. So the original ideal was no mercy. You get exactly what you deserve, and therefore whatever you get in Olam Haba, you've earned. But God realized there are people, most people, who without any mercy will get nothing. So he added mercy. Says the Shaloh HaKodesh, that doesn't mean that God changed his mind. It means that God created the world on two dimensions. There is a dimension of this world which is totally justice without any mercy. Who can live like that? Whoever can. And he gives examples. Yaakov Avinu was able to exist like that. Rabbi Akiva. So the downside is that any little thing you do wrong, you get punished without any mercy. But what's left is all yours. You didn't get any help. You earned it 100% on your own, so the Olam Haba that you'll have is unbelievable. That's all yours. So there is a dimension of din, and then there's another dimension where God added rachamim for those who need it, which is most people. In the beginning of creation, there was no time. So these two dimensions existed concurrently. Simultaneously, there was a dimension of din, whoever could fit into that, and a dimension of rachamim. But right away, God created time. So these two dimensions gravitated towards two time zones. The dimension of a world of din gravitated to Tishrei. And the dimension of a world with mercy gravitated towards Nisan. And therefore, Tishrei is Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. The beginning of Tishrei is all justice, judgment. In addition, the Svarim say that whenever you have a word where the Aleph Beis, the letters of that word, are the Aleph Beis in order, that's a sign of mercy. That the word has a connotation to mercy. Whenever you have a word where the Aleph Beis is backwards, the letters of the Aleph Beis in that word are backwards, that's a sign of din, of judgment. Tishrei is Tav Shin Resh, is Aleph Beis backwards, is din, judgment. Nisan, the Nisan has a name in the Torah, Chodesh HaAviv. Aviv is Aleph Beis. So, what's it called? Nisan is the month Aleph Beis of mercy. And Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah of Din, the time of Din. So now what we have is that, and not only that, but Pesach, the word Pesach, we normally translate to mean to skip or pass over. But the Targum says Pesach means to have mercy. So that's the Rosh Hashanah of mercy is Nisan. The Rosh Hashanah of judgment is Tishrei. So it comes out that the 40-day preparation for the Rosh Hashanah of judgment is cutting down trees and burning them on the altar, making a siyum of the completion of that mitzvah. And the preparation for the 40-day preparation for the Rosh Hashanah of mercy is involved, being involved with fruit trees. Where the opposite is not fire, but water. The water goes into the tree, becomes sap, and comes out as fruit. How does that work? So let's start with how the cutting of the wood for the altar is a preparation for the Rosh Hashanah of Din. The Torah says, Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh. People are compared to trees. Says the Maharal Prag, how are people like trees? Says configuration-wise. Right? We look like a tree to a certain degree. We have all the components. We have a trunk. We have limbs. We have a root, with root hairs even. Okay? That's a tree. There's only one problem. We're upside down. Because a tree, the root is down, the limbs are up.
The tree's upside down.
Or the tree's upside down, right. But there's more trees around. So, l'cha'ora, we're an upside down tree, says the Maharal. I remember when I was in second grade, I was in public school, and they had a Thanksgiving Day play, and I was a tree. I didn't get to say anything or whatever, but I had to stand there with my... But I would have been a better tree if I was on my head, with my legs and arms spread out. So, why are we upside down? Says the Maharal, we're not upside down. It's just that we're rooted in the heavens. A tree is a physical thing. So its root is in the ground, and its limbs extend up. The main part of the tree is the root. If you cut away the root, there's no tree. If you cut away the limbs, they'll regenerate. So if you look at a tree, you see that the root is rooted in the ground, and the limbs and trunk extend from that. If you look at a human being, you see that his root is rooted in the heavens, and his limbs extend down into this physical world. But the main root is in the heavens. I think that's hinted to in the word eights. If you vocalize the letters of the word eights, you get two letters, ayin, tzadi. Ayin, as a verb, means look. Ayin. And tzadi stands for a tzadik. So if you vocalize those letters, you get ayin tzadik. Look and you'll see the tzadik. Just look at a tree and you'll see a tzadik. How? Look at the tree, see its roots is the main thing, its trunk, its limbs, right? See how it's configured. Then look at a tzadik, look at a person, and see where his root is in the heavens. And his trunk and limbs extend downward into the physical world. Now you know what a tzaddik is. A tzaddik is somebody who's rooted in the heavens. So ayin tzaddik. Look and you'll see a tzaddik. Based on that, it stands to reason, I think, or I thought, that if that's because we're in a physical world, and it says even, the money is called hayikum asher biragleihem. It's the thing in your feet. Because it puts people on their feet. Meaning, the physical world, we stand on our feet because we're in a physical world. And we are rooted in the heavens, so our limbs are on the ground. But it stands to reason that if we'd be in a spiritual world totally, then we'd be a regular tree with our root down and our limbs up. So it hit me that in a spiritual world, the Chora, people walk around on their head. That's the configuration of a tree in a spiritual world. And I found a medrash that says that. And the medrash says like this. When Rivka Imenu saw her chosan, Yitzchak, for the first time, something astounded her and she fell off the camel. So the medrash says like this. What did she see that astounded her? Says that when Yitzchak was at the Akedah, Avraham Avinu put the knife to his throat and was just ready to cut when the Malach stopped him. But Yitzchak's neshama fled him because he was a second away from death. And he died. And God resurrected him. But because he had died and was resurrected, he needed to be rehabilitated. So God put him into Gan Eden for 3 years for rehabilitation. The moment that he was exiting Gan Eden was the moment that Rivka saw him. He was coming out of Gan Eden. And, says the Medrash, and as is well known, people in Gan Eden walk on their heads. And Yitzchak was still walking on his head. When Rivka saw him, she sees her chosen walking on his head, she fell off the camel. Somebody said to me, she didn't fall off the camel. She was a good kala. She wanted to fall head first to get on her head too. So she'd also be on her head. Now, that doesn't mean that if you can't stand on your head, you're going to have trouble in Gan Eden. Because there's no up and down. It's all figuratively speaking. But figuratively speaking, a person's head is down, is rooted in the spiritual world. In this physical world, the spiritual world's up there, so our root is up there. Which explains quite a few things. It says when the Machshefa, the witch, brought up the neshama of Shmuel HaNavi for Shaul, he came up upside down. Somebody said to me once after hearing this, maybe that's why children are born head first, most children, because they're coming from a more spiritual world into this physical world. So they come upside down. It says that one of the Amorayim clinically died and saw the next world. When he came back, they asked him, what did you see? He said, I saw an upside down world. According to this, very simple what he saw. In any case, therefore I was thinking that in this world we could make the mistake to think that our root is our feet and we're rooted in the ground and our head is the limb. How do you know that the head is really the root and the feet are the limbs and we're just upside down because we're rooted in the heavens? Whenever, therefore, we want to maintain a spiritual posture and show, really, this is our root, and we're rooted up there, and that's only our limb. In a tree, the root is covered. It's either in the ground or in a pot or whatever. The limbs are exposed. So when we want to maintain a spiritual posture, we cover our head and we uncover our feet. We take off our shoes. Yom Kippur. An Avel who wants to get closer to the spiritual, to the neshama who departed. Yibum, where the brother wants to get closer connection to the, right, you take off your shoes. In the Beis HaMikdash, you have to take off your shoes and you cover your head. To show this is the root. Could be that's why men wear yarmulkes, married women cover their hair, because it shows that's the root. Root is covered. The roots are not exposed. The root is covered. Okay. In any case, so that is how a human being and a tree are similar. And that's why I in tzaddik, if you look at a tree, you'll see a tzaddik. Just see the configuration of a tree, where the root is, where the limbs are, what's the main thing. Now look at a human being, see that he's inverted. His root is up and his limbs are down, but his root is rooted in the heavens. Now you know what a tzaddik is. That's how do you prepare for the Rosh Hashanah of Din. So we say in our davening Rosh Hashanah, who can possibly merit total judgment? Right? Mi yitzdak lefanecha badin. So what is the way of meriting to come out okay when there's din? The way is to put yourself totally into God's hands. And say, Rabbanu Shel Olam, I can't claim that I deserve this, but I'm putting myself totally into your domain, and I have trust, whatever you do is fine. When a person does that, then he merits to come out okay with judgment. That's the symbolism of preparing for Rosh Hashanah. We take trees, which represent people, we cut them into little pieces, person totally negates himself to God and subjugates himself. We burn it on the altar as totally giving ourselves over to God, and that way we prepare for the Rosh Hashanah of Din, the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei. That's Tu B'Av. Now how does Tu B'Shvat work? Now we're preparing for the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim, where God gives us mercy. He doesn't want us to negate ourselves and subjugate ourselves totally. He wants us to be dynamic, that we should produce our fruit. He gives us the help. So how do you prepare for that? Now we deal with trees that are vibrant, that there's water coursing through them, that'll bring out their fruit. Okay? How does that have a connection to the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan? So, something dawned upon me many years ago. If you take the word Ilan, Ilan is not a Tanakh word. It's a rabbinic word for trees. Ilan usually refers to fruit-bearing trees. Even though the Gemara says there are Ilanei Srak, there are Ilanos that don't bear fruit, but the same Gemara says that in the future, all Ilanei Srak will bear fruit, which means all Ilanos are potentially fruit-bearing. Some don't actually bear fruit now in this world, but eventually they will. So an Ilan is a fruit-bearing tree. Now, if you take the word Ilan, take away the Aleph and put it in your pocket, what are you left with? Three letters, Yud, Lamed, and Nun. Add those letters together. How much do they equal? Yud is 10, Lamed is 30, is 40, and Nun is 50, is 90. What letter in the Aleph base is 90? Tzadik. Now, take the Aleph out of your pocket and put it together with the Tzadik. What word do you get? Eitz. But Eitz with an Aleph, not an Ayin. So if we said that Eitz with an Ayin means Ayin Tzadik, look at the tree and you'll see a Tzadik. Look at the configuration of the tree, roots, trunk, limbs. Look at a person, roots, trunk, limb. See where he's rooted, you'll know what a Tzadik is. Now, Elon turns out to be Aleph Tzadik. The word Aleph in Hebrew means to learn. In the Aramaic, for sure, Yalif, Yalfinon means to learn. But in Hebrew also, the word Alefcha means I will teach you. So Aleph means to learn. So Aleph Tzadik, Ilan becomes Aleph and Tzadik. Learn about the tree and you'll know what a Tzadik is. How does learning about a fruit tree tell you what a Tzadik is? So I think perhaps the idea is the following. Let's preface it with two questions, and when we get the idea, we'll be able to understand these medrashim too. One is that there's a medrash that says the following. The pasuk says, "Ki savoel ha'aretz, when you'll come to Eretz Yisrael, unetatem kol eitz macho." First thing you do, plant fruit trees. So the medrash says, why? Because God said, when I created the world, I also planted trees. I planted trees in Gan Eden. So you too, be like me and plant trees when you come to Eretz Yisrael. Now I understand we're supposed to emulate God by being merciful, gracious, and so on. But emulate God by planting trees? I mean, if that's the case, then God makes it rain. We should walk around with a watering can and spritz water all over the place because God makes it rain. We should make it rain. What is this idea? God planted fruit trees, you should plant fruit trees. Another medrash says that 5 years before Avram was commanded to go to Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha, he took a pilot trip around the world looking for a place that if and when he would have children, he would want to settle and raise his children there. So he came to Aram Naharaim in Chutz La'aretz and he saw a bunch of idol worshippers partying, eating, drinking, partying. He said, God, this is not the place I want to bring up my children. He came to Eretz Yisrael, and he saw a bunch of idol worshippers planting, plowing, and harvesting. He said, this is the place. Now, on the surface, the medrash is difficult. Because what in the world was there such a great thing that a bunch of idol worshippers were planting, plowing, and harvesting more than a bunch of idol worshippers partying? They're both idol worshippers. The Meiri says that Olam Haba is not a different world than this world. It's the fruit of this world. Here you plant the seeds, and there you reap the fruit, which means the following. There are two philosophies of what this world is all about. One is this world is an end in itself, and the purpose of existence is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can. The Torah philosophy is this world is not an end in itself, it's a means to reach an end. It's a prosder b'fnei olam haba. It's a preparation room to a castle. The main goal is the world to come. This is the world where you prepare your share in the world to come. Here you put in the effort and you reap the fruit in the next world. The next world is the fruit that you planted and nurtured in this world. Those are the two philosophies. So the philosophy of fruit is the philosophy of the Torah. And therefore, the Rabbanu Shel Olam said, when I created the world, that's what this world was all about, planting trees and getting the fruit in the world to come. So you do the same thing. You're coming to Eretz Yisrael. Understand, you're here not for immediate gratification, but to put in effort so you'll have that fruit in the future. What Avraham Avinu saw was that Eretz Yisrael is conducive to that fruit philosophy. Put in effort now for the future. Chutz La'aretz is conducive to the other philosophy. It's in the environment. It's in the air. Eat, drink, and be merry. It's true. You can live a very nice Torah life in Chutz La'aretz, but you have to go against the environment, against the eat, drink, and be merry. And you can live a non-Torah life here. Unfortunately, there's people who do it, but they have to fight against the environment because the environment here is put in effort. And it's Avraham Avinu saw, even the Goyim, even the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are affected by the environment. There they're partying, and here they're planting, plowing, not immediate gratification, effort now for the future. I once saw this very clearly. They used to have Shavua HaSefer. They still have it, but it's nothing like 1 week where all the publishers of Sfarim would bring their latest publications or the ones they couldn't get rid of or whatever, put them out on tables in one central place in the city. It used to be in Gan HaPa'amon. And they made it a night out for the family. So they had cotton candy for the children and rides. So you'd bring your whole family. And they had books at reduced prices or whatever. It was a night out with the family. So I remember 1 year I took my family to Gan HaPa'amon. And we bought some Svarim, and the kids had cotton candy and they had rides. That night, I was scheduled to leave to Chutz La'aretz at 1 o'clock in the morning. So we came home. I went to the airport. 11 hours later, I get off the plane in Kennedy. And somebody met me at the plane. And he tells me there's something very special going on in Javits Convention Center today. I have an extra ticket. Would you like to join me? I said, what exactly is going on that you think I'd be interested in? He said, we're having a kosher, what's it called? Kosher food fest. What is it? All the producers of kosher food bring their latest products, put them out. At that time, it was around tables, and we walk around and taste the food and see what the products are going to be for the coming year. I said, look, I have nothing against kosher food. It sounds interesting, but it's a little strange. I just came a few hours ago from Israel, and we were walking around tables looking at Sfarim. Now, you want me to walk around tables and look at food? I said, there's got to be a very big difference between the focus in Chutz La'aretz and the focus in Eretz Yisrael. So in Chutz La'aretz, that's it. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's the focus. Again, you can go against it and live a beautiful Torah life, but you have to fight against the environment. And here the environment is fruit. Put in effort now. The early chalutzim were not religious people, just the opposite. But they didn't come here to party. They came here to clear the swamps, to put in effort for the future. So it's in the air here. So that is the fruit philosophy. That's what Avraham Avinu saw. That's what, if you learn about a fruit tree, you'll know what a tzaddik is. A tzaddik is somebody who puts effort in now for the future and is not looking for immediate gratification. Okay. Because Eretz Yisrael is conducive to that fruit philosophy, God gave us mitzvahs to do with fruit in order to hit home this message. There are basically four different mitzvahs of trumas and maisras. There's truma, maisra rishon, maisra sheni, and maisra ani. Let's see what they represent. Truma, you take the first of your crop and you dedicate it to God. Truma is called reishis. beginning, first. Why? Because the first sets the pattern for everything that comes after. So we dedicate the first to God, to get the idea that everything in this world should be dedicated to service of God and therefore put in the effort for the future. That's the first mitzvah with fruit. Then there's Maaser Rishon, take off a tenth. We dedicate the tenth to God. The first and the tenth. Why the tenth? The tenth is always holy. Asiri Kodesh. Why? Because every number till ten is a separate number. Everything starts with the unity of God. Then he created many things. The goal is to unite them all back under God. So the goal is the ten. Have now a unity. In Arabic numerals, it's for sure like that, in a decimal system. It's 1, 10, and 0, 1s. We have a new unit of 1. In Hebrew, same thing. After 10, there's no new numbers. You add to the 10. Achadisrei, Shteimisrei. You build on the 10. The 10 is the unified many things back to the unity of God. So we dedicate the first to God, and we dedicate the 10th to God. Okay, so now you have the right outlook on this world. Everything should be dedicated to service of God. But it's very nice to have the right philosophy, but you have to know how to implement it. So now you need the next thing, Maaser Sheni. What's the purpose of Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni, you take a second tenth, and you bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. You don't give it away, you eat it yourself. But you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So the Torah says, what's the purpose of that? Laman tilmad l'yiras Hashem, you'll learn to fear God. Tosfos says, how do you learn to fear God? By eating Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. It's very simple. So a person has a lot of Maaser, he has to eat. He has to spend some time, maybe a week, two, in Yerushalayim eating it. In Yerushalayim, you rub shoulders with the Kohanim and Levim. You're close by to the Beis HaMikdash. The Sanhedrin is in Yerushalayim. All the yeshivas are in Yerushalayim, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, so you have an opportunity to be inspired by all of this Kedusha and all of this learning. So you learn to fear God by spending time in Yerushalayim. So Maaser Sheni is, once I know to dedicate the first and the tenth to God, now I have to learn how to do it. So that's Maaser Sheni. And then there's Maaser Ani. You give a tenth to the poor people. Okay, that's every third year and sixth year. Instead of Maaser Sheni, you give Maaser Ani. Why? Because you can't only be concerned about your world to come. You have to be concerned about other people and provide for them too. So you provide for the poor. So those are the four mitzvahs that God gave with fruit to hit home this lesson of the fruit. You're here in this world to prepare for the world to come. How do you do that? By dedicating everything that you do in this world to God, the beginning and the tenth, by learning how to do it, and by providing for other people too, not just for yourself. If you had to ascribe letters of the Aleph Beis to represent these mitzvahs, what letters would they be? You want to dedicate the first to God. What letter would represent dedicating Aleph? You want to dedicate the tenth to God? Yud. You want to learn how to do that? Lamed. And you want to take care of the Ani? There's a Nun, because the Nun represents falling. And that's why after in Ashrei, David Melech left out the Nun, and the next sentence was, Somech Hashem l'chol anoflim. God supports those that fall. So the Nun is the middle letter in Ani. It shows falling, a servant who can't support himself. So the mitzvah of giving Maaser Ani is represented by a Nun. What does that spell? Ilan. Aleph, Yud, Lamed, Nun. So the Ilan, if you take those last three letters and add them together, they become a tzaddik, and the Ilan becomes an Aleph tzaddik. Learn about the tree, its fruit-bearing quality, and you know what a tzaddik is. And then the letters themselves represent the four mitzvahs that teach you that. Aleph is Truma, Yud, Maaser Rishon, Lamed, Maaser Sheni, Nun, Maaser Ani. Okay. So that's the preparation for the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan. Mercy. God took us out of Egypt. He wants us to be dynamic. And the way to prepare for that is to realize that you have the power to bring out fruit. Fruit of this world, fruit in the next world. What is the thing that's crucial to bringing out the best fruit? Water. Torah is water. The more Torah, the better the fruits are going to be. So Tu B'Shvat reminds us that when the water goes into the tree and produces the sap that will bring the blossoms and bring the fruit, you should be preparing yourself for the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan, where you'll be able to bring out your fruit by injecting the more Torah that you can to be able to make that fruit the most ideal fruit that it could be.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.